the Chicago River flows backward, not metaphorically, but literally. Engineers reversed an entire river's flow in the early 20th century, creating what was then the largest public works project in American history. They moved 43 million cubic yards of earth to flush Chicago's waste away from Lake Michigan and toward the Mississippi. It was a triumph of human ingenuity, a monument to our problem-solving prowess. It also unleashed a cascade of ecological chaos that we're still trying to contain with electric fish barriers, poison programs, and increasingly desperate interventions. This is the paradox at the heart of our environmental crisis. Every solution seems to require another solution and another until we're left wondering whether we're fixing nature or simply replacing it with something else entirely.
When you reverse a river, you connect ecosystems evolution kept apart for millennia. The Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal became an invasion highway for Asian carp, four Chinese species imported as biological pest control after Rachel Carson's Silent Spring advocated alternatives to chemicals. Grass carp arrived in 1963 to manage weeds. Silver and bighead carp came to control nutrients in sewage ponds. Both escaped into the Mississippi. These fish don't just invade, they conquer. In some waterways, they comprise 75% of total fish biomass. Silver carp leap from the water when startled by boat motors, sometimes knocking boaters unconscious. Now the Army Corps of Engineers operates electric barriers on the canal to keep carp from the Great Lakes. We're using electricity to police a problem created by plumbing, built to solve a problem created by urban development. Each fix demands another fix, interventions compounding like interest on a debt we can never pay off.
Flying over Louisiana's coast reveals a skeletal reality. The thick arm of land shown on maps is practically all river, with just two strips clinging to its banks. Every hour and a half, another football field vanishes into the Gulf. NOAA has retired 31 place names in Plaquemines Parish because those places no longer exist. The culprit isn't rising seas alone. It's the engineering built to protect the region. Thousands of miles of levees have harnessed, straightened, regularized, shackled the Mississippi. Before flood control, spring surges spread millions of tons of sediment across thousands of square miles, building new soil to counter natural subsidence. Now there's no spillover and no land building. Louisiana's solution? Punch 10 giant holes through Mississippi and Atchafalaya levees, gated, channelized openings to reestablish the natural sediment deposition process. We're engineering nature to behave naturally, a contradiction so absurd it would be funny if entire communities weren't disappearing beneath the waves. New Orleans sinks nearly half a foot per decade in some areas, one of the fastest rates on Earth. The evidence is everywhere. Car swallowing potholes, manhole covers jutting like turrets, century-old oaks leaning as roots shift. Some neighborhoods sit 15 feet below sea level. The celebrated drainage system pioneered by A. Baldwin Wood's revolutionary screw pumps in 1920 has become what coastal geologist Alex Kolker calls a Trojan solution. Pumping water from marshy soils accelerates compaction. The more water pumped, the faster the city sinks, demanding even more pumping. Hurricane Katrina wasn't even worst case, yet proved catastrophic. Multiple levee failures sent a 20-foot wall of water through the lower Ninth Ward, leaving 80% of the city underwater for weeks. Over 1,800 died. Damage exceeded $125 billion. Experts advocated carefully planned deconstruction, letting the Mississippi refill the bowl naturally. Political realities demanded otherwise. The Corps built the $1.1 billion West Closure Complex and $1.3 billion Lakebourne Surge Barrier, pharaonic defenses that have kept the city dry through recent storms. But as Louisiana loses a football field of wetlands every 100 minutes, bringing the Gulf 20 miles closer, these barriers may prove a trap, effectively raising storm surge threats by 7 feet. In Death Valley's scorching heat, biologists count Earth's rarest creatures, the Devil's Hole pupfish. These sapphire blue, inch-long fish inhabit what may be the smallest range of any vertebrate, a 60-foot-long, 8-foot-wide pool. The entire population weighs about 100 grams, slightly less than a McDonald's Filet-O-Fish sandwich. They've evolved to survive in harsh 93F water with low oxygen, conditions that cost them their pelvic fins. Their troubles began in the Anthropocene. In 1952, President Truman added Devil's Hole to Death Valley National Park. That spring, nuclear bombs detonated 50 miles north. Development and groundwater pumping dropped water levels dramatically. After a Supreme Court case that divided Nevadans between "Save the Pupfish" and "Kill the Pupfish" bumper stickers, the fish gained legal protection. Today, scientists maintain a $4.5 million exact replica of Devil's Hole with 4 full-time staff, roughly 1 person per 13 fish. The Devil's Hole pupfish exemplifies what might be called a Stockholm species, utterly dependent on its former persecutors. Such conservation-reliant species now number in the thousands, blurring the line between preservation and perpetual life support. For $209, you can buy a genetic engineering kit online and create antibiotic-resistant bacteria in your kitchen. This democratization reflects how CRISPR allows us to rewrite the very molecules of life any way we wish. Australia's cane toad invasion demonstrates this power. Imported in 1935 to combat beetles, these toxic amphibians evolved longer legs that increased their spread from 6 miles per year to 30. Their milky poison causes cardiac arrest in predators. Since Australia has no native toads, local species never evolved wariness, causing population crashes. Researchers created detox toads by deleting the toxin gene, allowing predators to learn avoidance without dying. Even more powerful are gene drives, systems spreading engineered traits through wild populations faster than natural inheritance. While standard genetics gives each gene a 50% transmission chance, driving genes achieve over 90%. Paul Thomas developed an X-shredder mouse whose Y chromosome destroys X-bearing sperm, producing only male offspring. Mathematical models suggest just 100 gene drive mice could eliminate 50,000 ordinary mice within years, a targeted solution to invasive rodents devastating island ecosystems worldwide. Since the Industrial Revolution, human CO2 emissions have surged from 15 million tons annually to nearly 40 billion, raising global temperatures by 1.1 C. The COVID-19 lockdowns revealed a harsh truth. Despite a record 17% emissions drop in April 2020, atmospheric CO2 still hit 417.1 parts per million in May. Carbon persists like water filling a bathtub that never drains. Harvard's Solar Geoengineering Research Program is exploring stratospheric aerosol injection, spraying reflective particles into the upper atmosphere to mimic volcanic eruptions like Mount Tambora in 1815, which caused the year without summer. Frank Kutch worries that without proper study, desperate populations might demand hasty interventions when climate impacts worsen. The technology is surprisingly feasible. Specialized aircraft would cost $2.5 billion to develop, with $20 billion per decade operating costs. But geoengineering treats symptoms, not causes. It creates dependency, requiring constant particle replenishment. Sudden termination would trigger termination shock, releasing all masked warming at once. Stuart Brand declared, "We are as gods and have to get good at it." E.O. Wilson countered, "We're not yet sentient or intelligent enough to be much of anything. Perhaps our greatest challenge isn't controlling nature, it's controlling our impulse to control."